Hey, this is Dean Cortez, and welcome to the program. Today, I want to talk to you about developing the right mindset that is going to allow you to start dating more women and higher quality women, the kind of girls that you want and deserve to be with. And getting the girls is really only the first part of the equation. The second part, and for most guys, the even bigger challenge, is once you find that girl, or those girls plural, and you're dating them, how do you maintain control of the relationship and do it on your terms? You've got to stay confident and in control and make her view you as a prize that she has to work to keep, okay? Instead of you worrying about losing her to some other guy, which is how most men approach their relationships, you've got to make her be the one who steps up and feels like losing you would be a tremendous loss to her life. Now, if you've read other books or been to seminars by other experts or so-called gurus, you're probably familiar with a concept that's called inner game, which is basically a catchy-sounding term for having the right mindset and attitude. As they often say, before you develop your outer game, you know, all the lines and techniques and strategies that you'll use to approach girls and talk to them, you've got to have your inner game sorted out. But the problem is most of the advice that these gurus give regarding inner game is empty. It's not specific. It's not practical. They'll tell you to be more confident and to get over your approach anxiety and walk up and talk to more girls. But for a lot of guys, this is a very understandable challenge. It's a real barrier. And telling guys to just be more confident is like telling a guy to be taller, you know? Most of us wouldn't mind being a couple of inches taller or more, but obviously it's impossible to do. So the question is there a concrete strategy for getting your inner game, or as I prefer to call it, really your attitude and your mindset, correct? Well, it boils down to this, okay? You've either got an abundance mentality or a scarcity mentality, all right? I'm going to explain both. In the first 30 minutes of this program, I'm going to focus on inner game. And then in the second half, I'm going to get more specific and tactical and show you how to translate this mindset into outer game strategies that are going to help you succeed with women on a whole new level. Now, before we jump into this, I want to congratulate you on making the decision to get a handle on your dating life and start getting the women that you deserve. I wish more guys took this kind of initiative, but unfortunately, most men have been conditioned to believe that there's something wrong or manipulative about trying to learn how to understand women on a deeper level and figure them out and become more successful with them. You know, if you were to tell some chick that you've been learning a program that's going to help you get better with women, she'd probably laugh and mock you and accuse you of being some cheesy pickup artist. But the reality is that women have been studying and learning and obsessing over this same kind of information ever since they were little kids. There's an entire multi-billion dollar industry dedicated to educating women about how to land the right man. Think about it. All those magazines like Cosmopolitan or TV shows like Sex and the City, and all those reality TV shows like The Bachelor. Today's women are masters of knowing how to make themselves desirable to men and push our buttons. They know exactly how to make themselves look, whether it's with makeup and sexy outfits or whether it's cosmetic surgery. And women are expert manipulators. They know how to make men jump through hoops and spend money and do all these things to try to win their affection. And when women get together to talk, what do they spend 99% of their time talking about? Men, and how to play games with them and how to lock them down. So with this program, what we're doing is creating a level playing field. And more than that, this program is designed to turn you into the kind of man that women really, truly want. You know, women might believe that Mr. Right is the guy who pays constant attention to her and brings her flowers and kisses her ass. But she's not going to respect a guy like that. That isn't the kind of guy that she's programmed to desire. Because he presents no challenge. He makes it too easy. He doesn't generate any sexual tension. And the nicer and more compliant he is, the more he goes along with everything she wants, the less satisfied and secure she will feel. We've all seen relationships. Sometimes it was our own parents, where the woman runs the show and the man pretty much keeps his mouth shut and tries to keep her happy all the time. These relationships are always having drama and problems because the woman is constantly testing and challenging him and trying to make him show the dominant masculine qualities that she needs in a partner in order to feel secure and protected, in order to feel like a woman. So I'm going to get into more detail on all this stuff, but for right now, I want you to know the key to your success with beautiful women is inside of you right now. You were born with it. It is a natural, primal male mindset, instincts that you were born with, but they've been buried under layers of social conditioning. We as men have handed all the power over to women, and most guys, as a result, go through life with that scarcity mindset. They're so concerned about trying to find a girlfriend, and then they're so paranoid about losing their girlfriend to another guy. And because they have this mindset and they behave this way, they inevitably either get dumped or they wind up trapped in lousy, unhappy relationships in which they're always being tested and challenged and the woman is always busting their balls. I am not going to let you go down that road because I was once on it myself. I was once like 90% of men. Maybe the figure is actually more like 95 or 96%. You know, I used to believe in scarcity. Now, what that meant was that I believed there was a finite number of available women out there. There was a limited supply. If I met a girl and wanted to go out with her, but she didn't feel the same way about me, I was crushed. I was disappointed and frustrated and upset because I figured it could be months or even years before another hot, cool girl like that comes into my life. And another really negative aspect of the scarcity mentality is that you start to believe that other people need to fail in order for you to succeed. In other words, for every friend of yours that goes out and finds a cool girlfriend, that's one less girl that you have access to. So you feel that your own supply, your own chances are diminishing. This scarcity mentality gets embedded so deeply in a lot of guys that they actually root for their friends to fail. They don't want to see anybody else succeed. And not just with women, but also in terms of their careers and their goals. When someone they know catches a lucky break and gets ahead, they feel like that's limiting their chances of getting ahead. This mentality also prevents a lot of guys from taking chances and going out there and making a lot of money and being very successful because that scarcity mentality tells them, you know, I don't like my job that much. The money isn't so great. My boss is sort of an asshole, but I don't want to lose what I've got because there might not be anything else out there for me. And you see this mentality with guys all the time that are in relationships or in crappy marriages. They hook up with women that are all wrong for them, but they don't want to leave their relationship because they don't believe they can do any better. Meanwhile, the guys with that critically important abundance mentality are picking and choosing the women that they want to date. And if that girl doesn't measure up to their standards, they move on to the next one. And meanwhile, as far as their career goals, they know they have talent and ability, and companies are lucky to be working with them. They will not accept less than they are worth, and this attitude is what gets them ahead and earns them the big bucks. But most guys never break out of that scarcity mentality. They view all the things they want in life, whether it's women or whether it's money, as a pie. And every time somebody else takes a slice, it's less for them. They see their opportunities always diminishing instead of expanding. Of course, this is a terrible attitude to go through life with. It's a limiting belief that'll really cripple you in a lot of ways. There's an endless amount of abundance in the universe. You got to believe that because it's true. And it's especially true when you've armed yourself with the right strategies and tools that we're going to teach you in this program. Now, the other big way in which the scarcity mentality manifests itself in guys' lives is when they meet a girl. They are so afraid to blow it and to screw it up because they're afraid that this is the one opportunity that's come along for them. And if they screw it up, they might not get another chance. This leads guys to be very anxious and deferential around women. And instead of taking some chances and being a little bit cocky and playful and letting their originality show through, they play it safe. Okay, they toe the line. They try to say and do all the correct things that a woman is supposed to expect of a guy who is courting them. When in reality, you've got to break all those rules and be hard to get in order to make women feel deep attraction towards you. And I'm going to show you how to do this. But for right now, think about mentality, abundance versus scarcity. The man with the abundance mentality believes there is an endless supply of women out there, and these women are going to be into him. So he's not worried or anxious about trying to find a girlfriend as fast as possible because he knows he is a valuable commodity, okay? Women are going to compete for a guy like this. He's not going to compete for women. Now, the funny thing about the abundance mentality is that when you have it, part of it means you become scarce to women. you become the scarce resource. You don't give a woman all of your time and all your attention. You don't lavish gifts on her. You're not available to talk to her on the phone for an hour every day or see her any night of the week that she's free to see you. Once you start getting to know women and getting them attracted to you and then limiting your availability so that they don't always have access to you, you're going to be amazed at how much harder these girls are going to compete for your attention and your affection. There's a phrase that salesmen and marketers use, which is called perceived value. And what this means is if you can create the illusion that your product is scarce and therefore valuable, people are going to want it that much more. You know, women love to shop, as we all know. A woman is going to have her eye on that pair of shoes that costs $400 or $500, way more so than she's going to check out the shoes that are in the bargain bin for $10. It could be the exact same pair of shoes, but that higher price tag creates perceived value. The woman wants that pair of shoes because that high price tag and that limited availability, because not everyone can afford these shoes, that makes them that much more attractive and makes her want them that much more. The pair of shoes that anybody can afford, they're not interesting. So you want to be the guy that women are attracted to and curious about. And a large part of this means limiting your availability and being a scarce resource. Okay, guys like you, with your level of charm and charisma and your sense of humor and your personality and all your different goals and passions, this makes you a scarce resource. And the more busy you seem to be and the more options that you seem to have, because when you're busy and you can't always see a girl, she's always going to assume that you must have other women going on in your life, okay? When you create that sense, they start competing for you. Maybe the ultimate analogy for this, the ultimate example of what I'm talking about, is the diamond industry. You know, these things come out of the ground. There are rocks that come out of the ground. How valuable is a diamond really? It's all because of the perceived value. The mining and the production of diamonds is strictly and tightly regulated and controlled so that demand will always far exceed supply. And the diamond cartels that control the industry in South Africa, they hire the top advertising agencies in the world to keep force-feeding women this notion that diamonds are this incredibly rare and special thing, when in fact all they are is tiny little crystals of carbon. And through the illusion of scarcity and a lot of really shrewd marketing, diamonds have, of course, become the ultimate symbol of love and power and romance. So now, going back to how abundance and scarcity are going to affect your interactions with women, I want to share with you an email that I received at my website recently from a guy who had a question pertaining to this. It's a very common situation. This guy met a girl, things were going great, they hit it off, but then she started acting cold towards him, distant, not returning phone calls and so forth, and he started to freak out. He was desperate to get this girl back and to lock her down and make her his girlfriend. And what happens in these situations, 9 out of 10 times, the woman ends up running in the other direction. Because once you've telegraphed all that interest and she perceives that you're just another ordinary guy who's got no other options and nothing else going on, you've got no value to her. All right, so let me share this email with you. He wrote to me, "Hey Dean, got a question for you. I am 34 years old, I'm from Norway, and I messed things up with a girl I really like. Now, I know your advice is probably to move on and meet new women, but I live in a small town, and there aren't so many hot, upscale women available. So after a 6-year relationship involving 2 kids and a bad breakup, I was single for more than 4 years. I'd met many girls since then, but none that I really liked, so I hadn't gotten serious with any of them. Then I met this girl, 20 years old, hot, from the next city next to mine, about a 1-hour drive away. We hit it off quite well from the start, and on the first night we met, we were already kissing, and she spent the night. She then told me the next day that she thought I was a bit old for her, and things cooled down. But still, we exchanged phone numbers and emails, so we kept in touch, also chatting on Yahoo Messenger. We would spend hours and hours chatting on the internet, and then she invited me to come see her for the weekend. So I went there, and we had a great time, but nothing more happened. I now know where I went wrong. I was being too friendly and nice and passive. But anyway, we did stay in touch, and we decided to take a trip together with a couple who are mutual friends of ours. Now, there was a window of a couple of months between when we decided to take this trip and when we actually went on it. And during this time period, we met once a week, and the tension was definitely increasing. Physical contact was escalating, but no sex. But I was being patient, And then the weekend of the trip, my patience finally paid off. So finally, I must have done something right. It kept going well, and we kept sleeping together until a couple of weeks ago, when I told her that I thought we should take things to the next level and make commitments to each other. And that's when it all went wrong. She wasn't sure about it, and instead of cooling down, I pushed on. I tried to push her into it. I tried to logically convince her that this was meant to be, and so on. Classic mistakes, I now realize. And when she wouldn't agree, I reacted with frustration, and then I pulled back. So, after a couple of weeks of silence, I made contact with her again, and I asked, what's going to happen now? And she's unsure whether she wants to walk down this path with me again. Well, the problem for me is that I've never met a girl like this when things went so naturally, and I don't want to lose contact with her. I know making up for this and getting her back on my side will not be an easy task, but I'm prepared to do whatever I have to do. I am still convinced that I can renew contact with her, and when I do, I will use everything I've learned from your programs, and I will not fall back to being the needy, wussy idiot that I was becoming with her. But I still need your advice, Dean. Is there anything I must avoid? And are there any great tips or hints you can give me? I'm prepared to give her my best side all the time, being positive and confident, and giving her the same positive experiences I gave her when we first met. I don't want this to end. Like I said, I live in a really small town, and I can't just pick the girls I like, as a guy might be able to do in a bigger city. Cards have to be played differently where I live. I really hope you have some wise words for me. Thanks, Dean. All right, so first off, I had to really commend this guy for being so sincere and honest. But there were a lot of red flags that I spotted, tactical mistakes that were evident in his email. Among the many guys that I've coached, this is a very common situation. They'll learn some strategies and some techniques from these programs, and they'll adopt the right mental attitude, but only temporarily. What happens is, as soon as they meet this perfect girl and sleep with her, they revert back to their old, anxious, desperate, needy ways because now they don't want to lose her. The irony is, by being super nice and by always being available to talk to her and telling her you want her to be your girlfriend, you're letting her slip away and her attraction to you is decreasing. So let me run down the red flags that were in this guy's email. Number one, after she spent the night with him for the first time, she mentioned to him that he might be too old for her because this guy's 34 and she's 20. Well, incidentally, I'm 34 years old myself, and I tend to date women that are 10 years younger than me, sometimes a little bit more. And so I've developed tactics for these specific situations because guys get hung up on this age difference thing. Most of us would love to date sexy younger women, but we have this mental block. We think it's somehow inappropriate or she's going to think we're too old and out of step with her and we're not into the same activities and the same music. You know, guys who are only in their 30s feel that they are ruled out from dating girls who are 10 years younger, which is not true. Older guys have a lot of advantages and a lot of attractive qualities that guys her own age don't have. Sure, she might get hit on by a lot of older guys, but remember, scarcity. You are a scarce, valuable resource. There are not too many guys that are older than her that come at her with really strong game and valuable qualities. Most guys, like the one who wrote this email to me, they have hang-ups about their age, and they're worried they're going to get found out. You know, they're worried this younger chick is going to realize, well, maybe he's too old for me. Maybe he's not cool enough to be with me, you know? And so the guy will apologize for it or try to make excuses. The correct approach is to put your age right out in the open and to throw down a challenge. Yeah, you're damn right you're 34 years old or you're 44 years old. The question is not, are you too old for her? The question is she smart enough and hip enough and sophisticated enough to be with a guy on your level? That's how you frame it. Before she asks me what my age is, I'm going to ask her what her age is. And if she says 20, I'm going to say, wow, I'm 34 years old and you're only 20? I got to be honest, I don't know if this could work. I've usually dated women who are closer to my own age because they're more sophisticated and they have some more life experience, you know, things to talk about. So by phrasing it that way, you're giving an incredibly confident, direct response. It's not arrogant or insulting. It just shows that you have high standards with the women you date. You're not ruling her out, but you're throwing down a challenge. Can she measure up to your standards? Is she intelligent enough and hip enough to be on your level? Well, Now is her chance to show you. You didn't say to her, oh, I can't date you, you're too young. You said, I date women who are sophisticated and experienced. So, if she wants to hang with you, she will need to prove that she isn't some typical young, shallow chick who has nothing interesting to talk about. Trust me, women are turned on by a man who throws down a challenge, who has standards, and makes her want to show her A-game, her good qualities. So then I'll say to her, well, I have to admit, you do seem kind of mature for your age. So tell me some of the things that you're into. Now you're throwing the ball back in her court and you're making her want to measure up to your standards. This is so powerful on a psychological level because right from the beginning, you're establishing that you have no insecurity at all about your age. You love being your age because it means you're at a secure, confident, experienced stage in your life. You know about cool and interesting things. You've been places. So the only question is this girl worthy of hanging out with a guy like you? Now, the next thing you want to do is turn your age into a reason for her to want to date you. As an older guy, you're more worldly and experienced. You can teach her things. You can show her cool places, turn her on to great music, movies, art, whatever your interests are. So I'll say things to her like, you know, last night one of my favorite movies was on television, Raging Bull by Martin Scorsese with Robert De Niro. It's a classic. You've seen it, right? Now, I happen to love De Niro and Scorsese, but this can be any movie released prior to, say, 1985 that you like, okay? Now, if she says she has seen the movie, you reward her. You say, cool, I'm impressed. I figured at your age, you probably wouldn't know about any movie not starring Johnny Depp or Brad Pitt, you know? Now, if she tells you she hasn't seen the movie, and she probably hasn't, you bust on her a little bit. You say playfully, I can't believe you haven't seen Raging Bull. Wow, there's a lot of things I'm going to need to teach you. This could take a while. Now, I don't want to get too specific right now about dating younger women because that's a subject that I'm going to cover in a future program more specifically. But bear in mind, this mindset applies regardless of any age difference. The woman could be your age or even older than you. The point is, you are making her want to measure up to your level and you're demonstrating that you have value and there are things you can show her and teach you. If she dates a guy like you, it's going to enrich her life. So instead of mentioning a favorite movie, you might mention your favorite travel destination, a place you visited that you love. Maybe you were over in Europe for a summer and you love the culture and the sights and the restaurants, the art galleries, whatever you're into. You ask her if she's been there. Chances are she'll say no. And then you bust on her a little bit. You say playfully, God, I can't believe you've never been to Europe. You would love it there. I can tell you would learn a lot of things by hanging around a guy like me. And you say it playfully, but you're planting a very important subconscious seed, okay? That you're unique. You're a guy who's been places and done things. You're on the ball. You are going to enrich her life if she spends time with you. And furthermore, she knows that if she turns out to be boring and uninteresting, you're probably going to ditch her and move on to the next. Think about it. How much more empowering is that mindset as opposed to being the average guy and thinking you need to say and do all the right things in order to impress her? Now, going back to this guy's email, the next red flag that I spotted is that he spent hours chatting with her on the internet. Another very common mistake, but I realize also very easy to make. You know, it would seem that talking to a girl for hours on the phone or on the internet would be building the connection between the two of you, right? But it doesn't. It makes her feel affection towards you because you're being a good listener and you're being sympathetic and you're probably being a little bit funny and clever, but it does not build attraction. One of the keys to making a woman feel attraction goes back to what I said earlier, limiting your availability. Now, I understand it's easier said than done. Before I got a handle on my own dating life, I made this mistake all the time. Because of my work schedule, I didn't go out during the week. I was usually home at night, messing around on my computer. And if a cute girl wanted to chat online, I would be happy to spend hours chatting with her, thinking that we were creating this amazing bond that would lead to sex and a relationship. Well, as you may know from your own experience, it usually doesn't work out this way. And as a mature, successful guy, whether you're 28 or 34 or 44 or whatever, you want women to know that you're a busy guy. You've got other shit to do. I want you to keep this in mind. You always want to be the one who ends the interaction. In other words, if you approach a girl and start a conversation, Do not wait for her to be the one who checks her watch and says, well, it was nice talking to you. I need to go find my friend now or whatever. You want to be the one who plants the right seeds, who asks the right questions, controls the conversation, and then after a reasonable amount of time, depending on the circumstances, you know, obviously if you meet a woman at the supermarket, you're going to have less time to operate and get to know her than you would if you met her at a nightclub. But after a reasonable amount of time and planting your seeds, you want to be the one who excuses yourself and tell her you need to go handle some things or you need to finish your shopping, you know, whatever the circumstances are. And you get her number, you end the interaction, and you leave on a high note. It's like the old showbiz maxim. They always say in showbiz, leave them wanting more. Don't give them everything right off the bat. Leave them wanting more. When a great entertainer leaves the stage, he's always held back, you know, one or two of his biggest hits because that makes everyone scream for the encore. They want to see him take the stage one more time. That's the mentality. Don't show all your cards up front. Don't try to tell her your life story in the first 30 minutes that you meet her. Have a smart, effective conversation with her, and then excuse yourself. Leave her wanting to see you again and find out more. Now, in future episodes of this program, I'm going to teach you all those specific techniques for conversation, for getting her phone number, for lining up the next time you're going to see her. But we're talking about mentality and attitude here, and I want you to keep this stuff in mind. Leave them wanting more, limit your availability, and be a man in demand. Now, the funny thing about women is they're jealous and competitive by nature, as I said. When you imply that you have quote-unquote other things to do, okay, a reason why you need to get off the phone after 5 minutes, or a reason why you can't chat on Yahoo for the next hour, or you can't see her next Wednesday night, she's probably going to think in her mind that you have other women that you're involved with. And this is a good thing. If she believes that you live an active social life and you have a full schedule, she knows you're interacting with other girls and she's going to want you that much more because obviously all these other people in your life that you spend time with, apart from her, obviously consider you to be a valuable, interesting person. Again, I know it can be hard, okay? Many times I would meet a hot chick at a bar, I would get her phone number, and I would call her the next day, and she would want to talk and talk and talk. And we'd start trading our life stories and talking about our goals for the future and if we wanted to get married and have kids someday and all that stuff. And I would think, God, this is going so well. You know, me and her are really clicking. There's this great chemistry. We're talking about everything. But two things are happening. First off, when I would see her again in person, we'd have very little to talk about. We'd already covered everything. And second of all, I could tell her initial attraction to me was starting to cool off because I wasn't framing myself as a prize. I was giving myself over to her. I was making myself totally available to her. And I was answering all of her questions, which was killing any sense of mystery about me. You want to cultivate a sense of mystery. When she asks you, so when was your last relationship? Or what was your longest relationship with a girl? You don't go into some long-winded 15-minute sob story about your high school sweetheart who you broke up with and blah, blah, blah. You want to stay really brief and really vague. Say, I had a really wonderful girlfriend, but things didn't work out. We were moving in different directions, and it's probably for the best. You know, she's doing well right now. I'm doing great. And it's nice to have the opportunity to meet someone like you. So tell me more about your job and what you do. It sounds really interesting. So you see, I'm throwing the ball back in her court. I answered her question in a very vague way. I didn't divulge a whole story, and more importantly, I didn't bash my ex-girlfriend. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. I spoke about her in positive terms. I didn't air any dirty laundry about her, and I quickly put the spotlight back on the woman I'm currently talking to. I want to hear more about her, okay? This is not about talking about ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends. That's just a conversational minefield, and I'll go more into that when I teach you about conversational strategy. Now back to that email from that reader of mine. The other red flag that I spotted right away when I read that email was that he pushed her to make a commitment to him. Now in retrospect, to be fair to this guy, he realized it was a mistake, and it was. Because trust me, if a woman is attracted to you, she is the one who is going to want to have that commitment discussion with you at some point. Especially if she senses that you're a busy, fun, exciting guy with a lot of different options. She's going to want to lock you down, okay? That's the woman's job. That's her instinct. It shouldn't be yours. You have options. And if you push her to make a commitment, there's a good chance that her attraction to you will cool off. I mean, she's thinking, why are you asking her this? Why are you so eager to be in a relationship? Are you desperate? Or do you have some flaw that other women have picked up on, which is why you're single? Never have the commitment discussion with a woman. As long as you framed yourself the right way, as the prize, it's not necessary. When you're not with her, she'll be thinking about you. If you don't call her, she'll call you. And when she meets other guys, they won't seem like an option because her thoughts are on you. When you ask a woman to commit to you or to be your girlfriend or to be monogamous with you and committed, what you're doing is you're allowing her to judge you. You're asking her to decide whether you're worthy of being her boyfriend. But the question in her mind should be, is she worthy of being with a guy like you? And you want to make her wonder what she can do better in order to have a guy like you commit. A lot of women will use sex as a tool to make a guy lose his head and want to commit, which is great. Make her step up and give you awesome sex whenever you want it, all the time. But don't rush into any commitments. I'll get into that later. But remember, she's the one who should want to have this discussion with you. You never want to give her the sense that you're trying to lock her down. Because when you do that, you're just another ordinary guy. You're not scarce. Guys like you are all over the place. Now, the guy who sent me the email, he asked me how he can get this girl back in his life. How can he repair the damage that he did by acting needy and desperate? Now, to this I say, this guy has got to behave like an alpha male and let the chips fall where they may. Now, when I say behave like an alpha male, I'm not saying you should act aggressive or cocky or arrogant. You've got to be decisive. You've got to demonstrate to women that you're a leader and you lay out a path for her to follow. So in this situation where the guy is trying to get her back, what I told him was get her on the phone. Internet chatting is not going to help in this situation. It's too impersonal. She's got to hear the upbeat, confident tone in his voice. So what he does now is he's going to call her and tell her there is a reason why he has to come to her area where she lives or close to it. It could be for business. It could be to see a friend that's having a birthday party. It could be to get a new stereo installed in your car, whatever. Come up with a reason that sounds legitimate, a reason why you'll be visiting her neck of the woods. And now you tell her in a confident and direct manner, since I'll be pretty close to where you live, I'd like to take you to lunch. So what's better for you, Saturday or Sunday? I want to catch up with you and tell you about some pretty cool things that have been happening in my life lately. So you don't chit-chat for 20 minutes. You don't mention anything about how you messed things up with her or how you want another chance. You just tell her you're going to be in her area to handle something and you want to take her to lunch and tell her about some cool things that have been happening in your life lately. This is going to make her curious and keep this conversation short and direct, and she's going to really respect your confidence. You're also being a leader and you're laying out a game plan that is easy for her to agree to. You're not saying to her, "Can I see you again? I really miss you." You're telling her, "I have some things to handle. I'll be in your area. Let's do lunch on Saturday or Sunday. Let me know which day is better for you. I have some cool things I want to tell you about." All right, so what are the cool things that have been happening in your life that you want to tell her about? Come up with something to tell her when you see her. Maybe you have a new idea for a business project. Maybe you're thinking about purchasing a new house or a car, or you're thinking about remodeling your apartment. Maybe your best friend finally found a serious girlfriend. Maybe you got reacquainted with an old friend of yours that you hadn't seen in many years. Whatever. Come up with something. It doesn't really matter. The point is you're going to meet her again. And when you meet her, if she asks about the news you wanted to tell her, and she might not even ask, just mention it briefly, switch gears, and move the conversation onto the topics that matter. You're going to control the situation. The point is this. You're finding a way to see her again, and this is your opportunity to change her opinion of you and to be the confident, smooth, charming man you should have been all along. So when you wind up seeing her again, as far as the exact conversational tactics you're going to use, I'm going to explain those in a future edition of this program. But this email this guy sent me, it all goes back to my theme about scarcity versus abundance. The bottom line is this. When a man has an abundance mentality, he's naturally confident. I spend a lot of my time in Las Vegas, where I own a home, and I'm often on the Las Vegas Strip partying, meeting girls, and gambling in the casinos. And I watch a lot of high rollers playing. And the funny thing is, who has the better chance of winning? Is it the rich guy who's having a good time? He's got tons of money, so he's betting big at the blackjack tables, making huge bets, and just having a blast? Or is it the nervous, desperate guy sitting at the other table who's gambling away the rest of his life savings? And every hand he plays is critically important, and he can't make a mistake. Man, the rich guy has a much better chance because he's not playing scared. He's having a good time. He's got abundance. He has plenty of money. And he hits, and he takes double downs, and he splits his cards, and does all the things you're supposed to do, even when he has a big bet out on the table, because he's not afraid of losing. You know, what does in most gamblers, especially poker players, is that they don't stick with their strategy when a lot of money is on the line because they're afraid of losing. When you play scared in Vegas, I guarantee you, you will lose. And the same goes with women. When that big opportunity comes along, when you're standing at a bar and that gorgeous chick walks in and stands near you, you go for it, man. You roll the dice. Because you know, with your abundance mentality, there really is no such thing as losing. The only losing that's happening here is if the girl declines to get to know you, because you are the most interesting, funny, cool guy in the room. And because of your mentality, the question is not, is this girl going to be into me? The question is this girl going to measure up to my standards? Is she on my level? Once you believe in abundance, you are going to turn down a lot of sex. I'm serious. A lot of girls are going to want to get with you. But you're never going to need to act out of desperation. She might be cute, and you might enjoy a nice, fun 10-minute conversation, but you decide, this girl just isn't up to my standards, you know? She's got qualities that I'm really not into. So I'll politely excuse myself, and there's going to be 10 or 20 other girls tonight that I'm going to have the opportunity to meet and work my magic on. And if they pass my test and they're on my level, I might give them a chance. Now, you think about how many guys have an attitude like that, and you'll understand me when I say that it's got to be way over 90% of guys that are going through life with this bullshit scarcity mentality. So, as I said before, one of the key aspects of having this abundance mentality is having standards and making women measure up to those standards. So, a quick exercise that I want you to do right now is to think about, or even better, write down, five qualities that a woman must possess if she's going to date you. I'm not talking about casual sex or, you know, having little flings. I'm talking about if she's going to be your woman, what five qualities must she have? Okay? And then next, I want you to write down five deal breakers. Or in other words, five qualities that if a woman has them, and I don't care how good she looks, you will not date her. You might bang her, okay, have some fun with her, but you're not going to date a woman who has these qualities. They're deal breakers. I'll tell you my five right now. First of all, if she's a smoker, she's out. Women who smoke usually have terrible breath. They got the yellow teeth. And it just points out a general lack of concern about their health and their well-being. So a lot of hot girls are puffing on cigarettes, but I'm not going to date any of them. Number two, women who are not appreciative of the things I do for them. If I buy her a drink, if I take her to dinner, if I pull out her chair when I sit her down at a restaurant, I expect to hear thank you when I do things for a woman, and I expect to be appreciated. You know, some women, especially the hot ones who get a lot of attention from men, take guys for granted. Guys are constantly kissing their asses and doing things for them and spending money on them, and these women begin to take men for granted. Well, I'm not going to be in that category. Number three, a woman who doesn't respect my time, I will not date. You know, women are notorious for flaking out, canceling plans, or showing up at the restaurant 20 or 30 minutes late. And they've always got some story about some sudden drama that popped up in their life. Notice this only happens to women. You know, guys never seem to have these little situations that make us run late everywhere. Well, that's fine, but I will not date a woman who doesn't appreciate and respect my time. Because time is the most valuable resource of all. It's the resource that none of us get any more of. And if a woman shows a pattern of behavior where she's disrespecting my time and making me wait, it's a deal breaker. I won't accept it. Now, my next quality that I won't accept in a woman that I'm in a long-term relationship with is a lack of ambition and direction. I just don't like being around lazy people. And I've noticed a lot of beautiful women coast through life, and their sole ambition seems to be finding a guy who's going to take care of them financially. These women don't really have any sense of passion or purpose, and I get bored with women who are like this, so I decided I'm just not going to date any. And the last quality I won't accept from women is unreasonable jealousy. If I'm dating a girl and she has some jealous tendencies, I can probably accept that. I mean, she is a woman, and women are jealous by nature. It's actually part of their biological programming. But when a girl is constantly questioning me and checking up on me and worrying that I might be cheating and suspecting me, forget about it. I don't have time for that, and I'm not going to tolerate it. So those are my five deal breakers, and I want you to figure out your own. And again, it doesn't matter how hot this girl is. Part of having the right mentality, part of having the really strong inner game, is knowing what you will and will not accept. Normally, it's the women who are deciding what they will and will not accept, and they're the ones sitting in judgment of us men and deciding which men are worthy of dating them. Well, we're flipping the script here. We're turning the tables, and you're going to be a man with high standards and an abundance mentality. That's how you get high-quality women, and it's how you hold on to those women. All right, so we've covered the inner game portion of this program, getting your mindset and attitude where they need to be. And now I want to move on and talk about some concrete, specific outer game tactics that you can start using to translate this new attitude into success with women. I've broken it down into 8 principles, and I want to share those with you right now. Principle 1 is I want you to get out there and start taking what I call batting practice. Taking batting practice means that you're interacting with women of all kinds on a daily basis, constantly. Wherever you go, whether it's the bank, the supermarket, the library, to your college class, or when you're out at the bars and the clubs, you're constantly giving off good energy and positive vibes and having short, mini interactions with women. This is really important for keeping your skills sharp and constantly gathering new intel on women. Put it this way, a Major League Baseball player is not going to take his first swing of the day when he first steps up to the plate, okay? He was warming up, taking a lot of practice swings, taking that batting practice, so that when he's at the plate and the game is on the line, he's ready to slam that home run. He's warmed up, he's feeling good about himself, and he's feeling confident. So stop limiting your interactions to the really cute girls that you want to date. And also, stop only trying to talk to new women in social environments like bars and nightclubs where it's supposed to be socially acceptable to talk to a stranger. You can do this stuff anywhere. And it's not about picking up women all the time. It's about having a fun, short conversation, putting a smile on her face, and thinking of yourself as a guy who brings fun and energy and positivity to women wherever he goes. If I go to a diner to eat breakfast and I have some 55-year-old waitress that I would never sleep with in a million years, I'm still going to take a few moments to introduce myself, get her name, and have a short conversation with her. You know, make her feel good about herself, maybe pay her a compliment, and get that positive energy back in return. When you're having positive encounters with women all the time, wherever you go, it's not going to be a stretch when that hot one comes along and you want to introduce yourself to her. It's going to feel natural, like part of your routine. And when you do this, it's also going to underscore to you, it's going to emphasize how much abundance there is out there. There are so many friendly women that are interested in meeting a charming, funny, cool guy like yourself. So take that batting practice and you will always be in a confident, positive mindset around women. Now, principle number 2 is something I touched on earlier. You should always be the first one to end the interaction. Whether you walk up to a girl and start a conversation, or whether you're talking to a girl on the phone and planning your next get-together, you should always try to be the one to excuse yourself because you have other things to do. Don't try to monopolize a woman's time or hang on the phone with her endlessly because you're not scoring any points that way. You're not building the connection any further. Every phone conversation that I have with a woman has a purpose behind it. If I'm calling her, it's to say hello, check in with her, and to plan the next time that I'm going to see her. I don't just call women just to chat. If I introduce myself to a woman at a bar, I don't want to get her whole life story, and I don't want to tell her mine. I want to get to know her. I want to evaluate her. You know, is she on my level? Is this a girl that I want to see again? And then I'm going to close it. I'm going to get her phone number, get her email address maybe, and then excuse myself. Unless, of course, there's a possibility that I'm going to get her home tonight. But usually that isn't the case. You know, you meet a girl when you're out shopping, you're not going to bring her home. You're going to talk to her for 5 or 10 minutes, get that phone number, and leave on a high note. Leave her wanting more. The next time you see her is when you can divulge some more information about yourself, and she can tell you more about herself. Principle number 3 also ties into that one. Limit your availability. Never give women the sense that you're always free to talk to them or hang out with them or help them or do whatever they want. You've got to project the image of a busy guy, a man on the move, and she's just one piece of your overall social lifestyle. And when women want to make plans with you, don't jump at the opportunity. For example, last night, it was a Friday night. I just gotten home from the gym and I was dead tired. I had a long week at work and I just wanted to chill out by myself and just watch some TV and get some rest. Now, this really cute girl that I had met at the mall a few days ago called my phone, wanted to know what I was doing, and she invited me to come down to a bar to meet up with her and her friends and have some drinks. Now, this was a girl that I definitely wanted to see again. She was hot. But instead of jumping at the bait and saying, sure, you know, which bar are you at? I'll be there in 20 minutes. I said, you know what? That sounds like fun. I got some stuff I got to handle tonight, but I'll try to make an appearance at the bar a little bit later on. So look out for my phone call. Now, in this situation, I knew all along I was going to go to that bar and see this girl, but I didn't make it easy on her. I didn't just jump at the opportunity. I gave her the sense that I'm a busy guy and I'm going to try to fit her into my schedule because I feel she deserves some of my time. And guess what? When I did show up at the bar about 2 hours later, she was thrilled to see me because she knew that I had made an effort to come out and see her. I wasn't just a guy sitting home alone with nothing better to do. And this attitude carries over into all kinds of scenarios. When a woman wants to see you on a certain night of the week, don't immediately agree to it. Tell her you're going to check your schedule and get back to her. And then when you call her back the next day to agree to meet up with her, you say something like, my week is so busy, but I'm enjoying getting to know you, and I know you want to hang out, so let me see if I can move some things around, and we'll get together on Wednesday night. I'll pick you up at 8. I'm going to take you somewhere really fun. Okay, the next principle, or the next thing that a guy with an abundance mentality does with women, is that he lays out a decisive plan of action. He doesn't say wishy-washy things like, well, maybe if you're free sometime, we can get together, or do you want to hang out sometime, or can I call you sometime? When you do this, it sounds to women like you're asking for their permission. You don't want to ask permission. You want to assume that she wants to hang out with you, and she's looking to you to provide the time and the place and lay out the plan. Women do not want to make the hard decisions. They want to feel safe and secure around a real man, and a real man lays out the plan. It all ties into the abundance mentality. When you have that negative scarcity mentality, you're afraid of saying or doing the wrong things, and you're afraid of making suggestions that women aren't going to like. But as you become more experienced around women, you know what they're going to go for. You don't make weak, vague suggestions like, well, maybe if you're free sometime, we can hang out and do something. That's totally weak. Lay out the plan. You say something like, I know you're a spontaneous person, and you're always up for checking out a cool new spot. And my friends tell me, there is this awesome new bar that just opened up nearby. I heard they serve the best margaritas in town, and they have great live music on Friday nights. So I'm going to roll over there around 8 o'clock. Let's meet up then. Now, you see, that kind of invite is very powerful. You're giving her a time and a place for her to say yes to. And another benefit of this approach is that if she does say no because she's busy on Friday night, it's not like you're being rejected. The way you phrased it, you're going to go to this cool new spot with or without her because you roll like that. You're always checking out cool new spots. She can jump on board your train and come along and have a good time, or she can miss out while you roll on and keep doing your thing either way. Okay, the next principle I want to talk to you about, and again, all these principles tie into having that correct abundance mentality, is that I want you to stop giving women whatever they want, whenever they want it, and trying to meet their needs all the time. Now, the opposite of a guy who believes in scarcity and is always trying to do and say the right thing and please women is a guy who is cocky and playful. You always want to be a little bit challenging and unpredictable. If she says to you, pick me up at 7, tell her you'll pick her up at 7:30. If a woman wants you to take her to a particular restaurant, don't offer to take her there right then, but surprise her sometime and bring her there when you feel like it, when the time is right for you. If she invites you to come over to her place, don't tell her you'll be there as soon as possible. Tell her you have some business to finish up, and you'll try to make it over there soon. Be calm and cool and collected. Like you have all the time in the world to hook up with this girl and you're in no rush. I can promise you, if she was attracted to you before, this type of behavior, this unpredictability, and this cocky way of challenging her on things is going to amplify her attraction to a new level. This is not about being cold or argumentative, okay? It's about having that James Bond attitude. James Bond is one of the great alpha males of all time. I mean, you think if a woman tells him to jump, he's going to say how high? Hell no. James Bond operates on his own schedule. And when a dude like that does make time for a woman, she feels lucky to have his undivided attention, and she's going to make it worth his while. Okay, my next principle of abundance is that guys who believe in abundance and that there are endless women out there, they're comfortable being themselves. Now, this is an interesting subject because most guys are totally confused about what it means to be yourself around women. Most guys would assume that if they're behaving normally with a woman and they're not using any techniques or strategies or pickup lines, well, then they're just being themselves. And they're always saying they're hoping to meet a woman who will appreciate them for who they are. Well, I have to straighten these guys out because they've got it all twisted. You see, most guys that I talk to who are having problems getting dates and getting laid believe themselves to be quote-unquote nice guys. And they think that being a nice guy is a handicap. These guys complain to me all the time that the guys who are bad boys and jerks and assholes, they get all the women. And the nice guys tell me they want to find a girl who will appreciate them for who they are because they don't want to use or manipulate women. Well, this might come as a shock to you, but the truth is, the nice guys are usually the most manipulative of all. You know what? If you're a wussy around women and you defer to them, you're a manipulator. You see, when a guy is constantly trying to please a girl and caving into her demands, in a sense, he's manipulating her. He's pretending to be happy and going along with whatever she wants so that he can get closer to her and hold on to her and hopefully get sex. You see, he's not being honest to her. The nice guy wuss is not being honest about his own wants and his own needs, and he's not being real. He's actually suppressing his real personality and not saying the things he wants to say because he's trying not to blow it. Do you follow what I'm saying? The nice guys are the ones that have this hidden agenda. They don't have the self-respect, and women can sense this. Now, on the other hand, the bad boys, the guys who play by their own rules, who never try to impress women, who do their own thing, and always seem to get laid because of it, these guys aren't manipulating anybody. They are the ones who are truly being themselves. They don't really care what women think of them. They're doing their own thing. And these bad boys are not easily impressed. If a woman is going to hold on to his attention, she's got to step up. So you see, it's actually pretty ironic. Most guys complain that they're just too nice to get women. And they're such nice guys. And women don't appreciate them for being so nice. And they say, well, I don't want to use any of these pickup strategies or techniques, you know. I just want to be real. I just want to be myself around women. And the irony is, these guys aren't being themselves. They are denying their masculine programming. They're allowing their programming to get buried under years of social conditioning. All this bullshit about how we're supposed to defer to women and try to please them and buy them gifts and spend money and court them. And meanwhile, the guys, what we call the bad boys, are the ones who are being true to themselves. They're being real men. They're behaving as men should behave. And women respond to this and are gravitating towards it. Now, in a future edition of this program, I am going to break down the whole bad boy phenomenon and explain it to you and show you how you can incorporate all these bad boy qualities into your game to be massively attractive to women. But for right now, my point is, the real you, the man you were born to be, is not the guy who's shy and timid and afraid to ask a girl out. And then if you do find a girlfriend, you're always catering to her and putting up with her nonsense and trying to hold on to her by any means necessary. That's not the real you. That's not being a real man. That, my friend, is operating with the scarcity mentality that I'm trying to drill out of all you guys. This also means that when things start to go well and you start dating her or sleeping with her, hopefully, you've got to maintain your discipline and maintain your self-respect. I can't tell you how many students of mine have learned all these strategies and gotten really good at approaching women, getting phone numbers, and all that stuff. But as soon as they get into a relationship with a hot girl, they revert back to their old wussy ways because now they're back to that scarcity mindset. Oh my God, I have this hot chick and I'm banging her and I do not want to lose this. I don't want to screw it up. So they go back to that old mentality. They are trying to please the woman and caving into her demands and then being very possessive of the woman. And this turns her off. It's only a matter of time before she ditches this guy and goes looking for a guy or gets stolen away by a guy who has those masculine alpha male qualities and doesn't take her crap and challenges her and has that cocky, playful edge that drives women wild. Okay, now my final rule of abundance is a huge one, and it's very simple. If it turns out that she does not respect you and she wastes your time and she is a drain on you emotionally, financially, or otherwise, cut your losses and move on. When you believe in abundance, you don't allow yourself to suffer in bad relationships. I know guys who've been in a relationship for years, and the girl is constantly causing drama and breaking up with him and then getting back together with him and then breaking up with him again, and then she cheats on him, and then she comes running back to him, blah, blah, blah. You've seen this routine play out with guys that you know. Hopefully it didn't happen to you. But if it ever did, don't let it happen again. If she doesn't respect you as a man and she saps your energy instead of elevating your energy, you've got to get rid of her and move on. As simple as that. When you believe in abundance, you know that the following day, the following night, you can be back out there on the scene meeting all kinds of cool new women. And I'll tell you something else. When you believe this, when you have this attitude, women that you date are far less likely to cause you problems and think about breaking up with you because they're going to want to hold on to a guy like you. You know how jealous and competitive women are, and they know that if they break up with a guy like you, you have plenty of other options. Before we wrap up this program, I want to leave you with a 3-point action plan, okay? These are 3 things that I want you to do over the next couple of weeks that are going to help reframe your mindset from one of scarcity to one of endless abundance. Now first, start taking batting practice, as I explained. For the next 2 weeks, I want you to meet at least 5 new women each day. And I'm not talking about approaching hotties at the bars and trying to get their phone numbers. I'm talking about meeting everyday women that you encounter in your daily routine. It could be the girl at Starbucks who serves you your coffee. It could be a waitress at a restaurant or a sales clerk at a store. It might be a woman who works in your office or in the same building, and you've never taken the time to properly introduce yourself and have a short, positive conversation. Don't even worry about getting phone numbers or dates. That isn't the point of this exercise. In most cases, you won't even want a phone number from these women. The point is to have short, upbeat, friendly conversations. Make a good impression on them. One of the best ways to do so is to pay them a quick compliment. Single out an aspect of their appearance. Maybe it's their hair. Maybe it's a little piece of jewelry they're wearing. And pay them a compliment. Ask them where they got it. Ask if they have plans for the weekend coming up. You can also gather all kinds of intel this way. You might find out about a festival this weekend or an event or an art gallery opening or a new restaurant or a bar or maybe a cool vacation spot they're going to be going to. It's a great way to constantly gather information on what women are up to and what they're into. Now, next, I want you to go through your phone and I want you to delete all the old numbers of women that you're not in contact with anymore. Think of it as cleaning house, okay? All the women that you've met and the relationship didn't go anywhere, or girls you dated and broke up with, get rid of those phone numbers, man. Clean house. Because just seeing those phone numbers when you scroll through your address book brings up bad memories and bad vibes. Or maybe if you're feeling lonely or drinking too much, you might be tempted to call these numbers from time to time or send text messages, which only puts you in a worse mood when you don't get a reply. I'll tell you a quick story. I lost my phone not too long ago, and all my phone numbers were stored in there, including a lot of women, of course, and a buddy of mine said, oh my God, that's a disaster. You know, how are you going to cope? You lost all your girls' phone numbers. And I was really calm about it. I just said, you know what? Any girl who's worth being in touch with and wants to be in touch with me, they know they can send me an email. They have my email address and they can always get back in contact with me. So really all I was doing was cleaning out a lot of old phone numbers and getting rid of them that I really didn't need anymore. Now, the final step of your 3-point action plan is to start limiting your phone and your internet chat access, okay? It's part of this new mindset. You no longer want to be available for long phone calls and long internet chat sessions with women. You want to be the one who ends the conversations first because you've got other stuff to do. And if you don't actually have other stuff to do, you should find some new hobbies, start broadening your social networks and bringing more women and more friends into your life. Get off the computer and the phone and just be more active. Be a man on the move, because those are the kinds of men that intrigue women, make them curious, and make them more attracted. The guy who seems like he never has anything better to do is never going to be of much interest to women. So we've reached the end of this program, but we're just getting started. This is honestly the tip of the iceberg. We are going to get really, really deep and specific with all kinds of inner game and outer game strategies that are going to help you succeed with women in any situation. And no matter what your goals are, maybe your goal is to get out there and play the field, hit the bars and the clubs and get laid, have one night stands and have a lot of fun and juggle different girlfriends. Maybe your goal is to find that one spectacular woman to settle down with. Whatever your goals with women are, we are going to help you get there. So stay tuned for our next installment. Good luck. Start unleashing that alpha male that's been inside of you all along and have a lot of fun with it. Life is too short to operate any other way. This is your wingman, Dean Cortez, signing off.